You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And welcome, everybody, to this week's exciting episode.
I went to the aquarium at the weekend, but I got out of there pretty quick because something about the place was just fishy.
Now we need a sound icon for tumbleweed. Yeah.
Yeah, well, you know, dad jokes. You either love them or you hate them. And at the moment, I'm loving them.
Let's hope everybody listening to this is as well.
Yeah, well, they're not offensive, are they?
No, they're harmless fun.
Harmless little quips and quotes and jokes. I'm not going to lie to you. I'm running out of intros.
Running out? Wow.
Well, there's so much, but at the same time, my brain just doesn't comprehend.
It's like not engaging.
Yeah. Like, I also forget what I have and haven't done, so...
Well, there's only one thing to do then, isn't there?
Just start again?
Listen to all the episodes.
Oh. I'll be there for weeks.
Yeah.
What I was going to do was an impression of Hulk Hogan, and then I was going to read out some of Hulk Hogan's famous quotes.
Right.
So I could do that now quickly.
Yeah, go for it. Why not?
He says... What's up, brother? He says that quite a lot. He says, say your prayers, eat your vitamins, and...
Yeah.
Because he's, you know, involved in that scandal of being racist.
Yeah.
So, I didn't say it. That's just a famous Hulk Hogan.
Quote, yeah. You know?
Yeah, I'm just running out of ideas for intros.
Well, we'll have to have a brainstorm.
Yeah.
We'll think of something.
There's only so many jokes. There's only so many quotes. Maybe I'll just go back to making silly noises. Animal impressions. Maybe that's my next
animal
venture.
Impressions, yeah. You could do that song from Road Trip.
Yes.
The monkey goes, ooh. The snake goes, tss.
And the salmon goes, boo. Shout out to Tom Green. What a hero.
Yeah.
Well, here we are, mate.
Well,
podcasting time.
It is podcasting time.
It's because we came in here and it suddenly got cold.
So it has, yeah.
I feel like the energy is just, I feel cold.
Chilly. Chilly.
Got to do a podcast in the cold.
Well, I did turn the heater on, but normally I turn it on for like an hour or two before we get in here, but I completely forgot.
Mm. It's also the opposite of at work, because at the moment the tractor is just
the air conditioning doesn't work. Yeah, it's like walking into a sauna every morning.
Yeah, too hot at work and too cold in the studio.
Yeah, terrible living conditions. Terrible. So what are we doing today then, Josh?
Well, let's turn up the heat, because today we are doing the Hellfire Clubs.
Oh, do you like the echo I put on that?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wasn't it cool?
Hellfire Clubs. There you go. And double echo. Double echo. Double echo.
All the echo.
And then hopefully you've put echo on all of those quotes.
Let's hope so. I hope I remember to do that.
Yeah. So then it'll be quadruple echo. It's just going to go in a circle, because the more I say it, the more echo you add on, and then it just goes up.
Maybe.
Oh, well, that fired me up.
I'll echo the echo.
I do love a bit of echo. Hopefully that's worked out and people enjoy it. Yeah. Well, I thought we'd bring Hellfire Club to the people, to the listeners. I did get sidetracked. I was going to do George Van Tassel.
Oh, yeah. I forget from the suggestion box from last week, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, actually, I have a confession. When I did last week's We Got Mail episode, there was a guy that I completely forgot to include, and his name's Neil. And he came up with a whole bunch of things. One of the things that he wanted to mention was an old TV program. I'm looking for it now, and I can't remember what it was.
Well, Neil's missed the deadline, I'm afraid.
He has, but he was one of the people that actually made me want to do this.
Okay.
But I'll tell you what, I'll actually save that for another episode, and I'll give...
So he has missed the deadline.
He has missed the deadline, but I just wanted to shout out to him and say, sorry, Neil, I didn't mean to forget you, but I will do a dedicated show to your suggestion.
Well, hopefully he didn't get offended by not being mentioned and is still listening to this episode.
I hope so. Yeah, I hope so. There's a lot of messages going backwards and forwards, and I can't just quickly find it. But yeah, I did forget you, Neil, but I haven't forgotten you. It's coming.
So, Neil, in the future, you'll get a proper shout out and read out.
Yes.
Well, shout out to Neil.
Yes. Who is not part of the Hellfire Club.
No. The Hellfire Club.
As far as we know.
He could have been. If he was born in 1718.
Oh, well, it'd probably be, yeah.
Yeah, I was supposed to do George Van Tassel, because I do find that really, really interesting. I just didn't have the time to
put... You're digging yourself into a hole like I do with big cats now, aren't you?
Oh, no. It's coming. I just wanted to dedicate 100% focus into it, and I didn't just want to, like, skim over it.
Oh, and that's the same with me and Neil, you know?
So I just wanted to cover something that was a bit more, like... Not that I have skimmed over it, but there's less information.
Oh, okay.
if that makes sense. So, for people that don't know...
So you had a busy weekend.
I had a very busy weekend, yeah. To sum it up, everyone, yeah, I had a very busy weekend. And I had, like, 4 hours to do research. So, yeah, I'm not proud of it, but it is what it is. We're still going to keep it entertaining.
Yeah.
The Hellfire Club.
What is the Hellfire Club, Josh, for everybody listening that has never heard of it and doesn't know what it is?
Some people would say that the Hellfire Club comes from Stranger Things, because it's mentioned in that.
I think it is, yeah.
It might come from that, but that's not what I'm talking about today. And there was also a shout out to all the nerds out there, because there was actually an X-Men comic that was involving a gang of superheroes called the Hellfire Club. I'm not talking about that either.
Okay.
What I'm talking about is a gentleman's club. You know, back in the day when men were men.
Oh, a proper gentleman's club.
Yes.
Bring out the tea and scones. Yeah.
They were, well, if by tea and scones you mean raping and pillaging pirate.
Of course.
Yeah.
It's, you know, code name for it.
Sorry, graping and pillaging.
Yes, yeah. Ugh, graping.
I've messed it up already.
And villaging.
Yeah. Graping, villaging. Just a bunch of scoundrels, really.
Oh. Dressed up as gentlemen.
Yeah. We'll get into it, mate. It's very fascinating, I find. So the Hellfire Club was actually a term used to describe several exclusive clubs for high society libertines / aristocrats.
Of course.
Established in Great Britain and Ireland in the 18th century. And you know that messes me up, because it's 18th century, but it was 1718.
Yeah. The century is after the
Yeah, which is so annoying, because my brain just keeps thinking 17th century.
Yeah, well, they were quite popular, the old gentlemen's clubs, weren't they? I mean, when you think of, what was it, Phileas Fogg going around the world? That was a wager from a gentleman's club. Around the world in 80 days, you know the old...
I know the one.
The story. Oh, he's got to open his can. He forgot to do it before.
It's a nice sound, though,
just
isn't it?
Good. There you go.
Yeah, sorry.
That's ASMR in person.
Around the world in 80 days, yeah?
Yeah, that was a wager that was set in a gentleman's club. You know, the old shake of the hand. Let's have a gentleman's agreement. And, yeah, that would have been the kind of setting that this took off from, I guess.
Yeah, yeah.
No women allowed.
No, well, apart from maids and...
Oh, yeah, servant types. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, but this was a gentleman's club. These meeting places were for persons of quality who wished to take part in what were socially perceived as immoral acts, and the members were often involved in politics. So
that sounds like a dream and a nightmare all at the same time.
Yeah, yeah. Hmm. I mean, if you want to sum it up, bunch of politicians meeting up and being hooligans.
Yes, yeah.
Yeah. The clubs allegedly had ties to an elite society known as the Order of the Second Circle.
Oh, now that does sound mysterious.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the First Circle and the Third Circle
Do you know what? I actually had the same thought when I wrote it down. I was like, why would they pick Second Circle and not First Circle? I couldn't really make sense of it.
I wonder what the First Circle thought about that.
Mm. But they were jokers as well. They were okay. Pranksters, they were jokers, and they liked to make fun of society and what was considered normal
for the time. They were the pagans.
Yeah.
People against goodness and normalcy.
Yeah, yeah. You know, I'm pretty sure paganism comes up, so I will give you a get out of
paganism my head. Is a different thing. Like, traditionally, paganism is just like an early kind of religion, sort of earth-based, sort of, you know.
Ah, hippies.
Sort of, like druids and, you know, stuff like that. It was very simple religion, more, to like elemental worship rather than deities and stuff like that. But yeah, I remember there was an old 1980s film called Dragnet, where they had like this cult, kind of like this Hellfire Club thing, but it was run by these people who called themselves pagans, and that stood for people against goodness and normalcy.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was very 80s.
Because when people say paganism, to me, we'll have to cover it because I actually don't know what paganism is. When I think of paganism, I picture a woman in like a druid hooded cloak, right. But she's like a hippie witch kind of thing.
Oh, right.
And she uses gemstones. That's what I pick. I don't know why. That's
probably just... not far off, to be fair. Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe I've seen it in a film. I don't know.
Paganism is just very basic, early form of, like, it sort of predates Christianity and that sort of thing, at least in the UK and that. Like,
are they the ones?
You know how we celebrate Christmas in Western society?
Yeah. Well,
pagans celebrate solstice. And, you know, the whole thing was kind of brought into one. That's why we celebrate Christmas near solstice, winter solstice, you know. So all these religions were kind of amalgamated into one main religion, or at least Christianity tried to envelop them all.
Mm, yeah.
You know, while they converted people and said, our religion's not that far from yours. Come and join us because we have a solstice, but we call it Christmas.
Is that what the movie Midsommar is kind of loosely based on?
No idea, never seen it.
Oh, you'd like that.
Oh, right.
Very, very good. Okay. It's like it comes under the category of those films that we like. They're a little bit edgy and weird and things.
Oh, yeah, okay. Fair enough, yeah.
Well, anyway.
Anyway, Hellfire Club.
The first Hellfire Club was founded in London in 1718 by Philip Wharton. He was the first Duke of Wharton, which, when I read that, I am guessing these were back in the days of people's last names were the places they were dukes from.
Possibly with the like aristocracy, yes, maybe. Or villages were named after the people or the other way around, I don't know.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's currently, very much so. Either that or their trade would keep the be their surname.
Yeah, you have blacksmiths and things like that. Mm. Yeah, I'm with you. The most established Hellfire Club was also in England, and it was founded by Francis Dashwood, which I'm pretty sure later became a sir, I think.
Sir Francis Dashwood.
Yeah, that's a cool name.
Dashwood.
Yeah. Regular meetings occurred from 1749 up to 1766 with Francis Dashwood's Gentlemen's Club. So that was the most popular one, and they were the most active times, years, I suppose. More Hellfire.
This is when it was all kicking off, when they were just ramping up.
Yeah, 1749 to 1766.
More and more debauchery.
Oh, terrible place in the end. They were a bunch of goofballs, I tell you. More Hellfire Clubs arose in the 18th century, most of them in Ireland, after Wharton's had been dissolved. So the first ever one got dissolved.
Oh, right, okay.
And then most of the Hellfire Clubs were actually...
They went underground.
In Ireland.
We're going underground.
Did you say underground on purpose? I don't know that song. It's a prodigy.
Yeah, I think so.
Did you say underground on purpose?
I could have.
Because the Hellfire Club built caves.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Oh, so right. That is literally underground then.
Yeah. They actually built caves to do all their meetings and all of their... It was weird because they had lodges and sheds and buildings and outhouses.
Underground caverns.
Yeah.
Well, why not? It's all about presentation, Josh. I keep telling you this.
The presentation.
To be an evil genius, you have to have presentation.
That is true. I suppose it wouldn't really work if you had an evil genius and he just had a normal house covered in flowers.
Exactly.
Cave.
I mean, look at Gru, Despicable Me, normal neighborhood, and then he's got this evil genius house with like a massive basement that he can launch rockets from and stuff. It's, presentation.
Yeah. One famous person that frequently visited the caves for secret meetings but was not an official member was Benjamin Franklin.
Hit the wow button.
Benjamin Franklin.
Blew my mind. Benjamin Franklin. In Ireland.
No, that was the London one. Sorry.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah. London. Yeah. I will come back to the Irish one because that's where most of the hauntings and things take place.
Oh.
Yeah. Okay. But the main stuff happened in the London one, the most popular one between those years and things.
Fair enough.
But
I'm guessing Franklin was like visiting the country, was he? Or is it Benjamin?
Benjamin Franklin. He was a president.
Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, president. Of the United States,
he would have been over here for business and having secret meetings and things.
And got invited to the Hellfire Club.
Yeah,
as you do.
The Hellfire Club actually does come from the Freemasons.
I can understand that.
Which there's not much time difference between it. Like the Freemasons were created in 1717. And then it was like 9 months later, the first Hellfire Club was made.
Oh, you probably had to be like level 33 or whatever they call it to get into the Hellfire Club then.
But it's strange how the Hellfire Club hasn't really continued, but the Freemasons is still a thing. Like there is a secret club.
Well, it's not very secret anymore, is it?
That's true. I've seen one of their handshakes in person. I was like, pretty sure they're Freemasons.
I've seen that as well. I guess they wanted to give themselves maybe a better outward visage. So maybe the Hellfire Club wasn't helping them out in that respect,
Yeah. I mean, I know it's 2025, but if someone said to you, do you want to join the Freemasons or do you want to join the Hellfire Club?
I'd be Hellfire.
Hellfire Club sounds cooler, doesn't it? Like Freemasons actually does sound a little bit sneaky.
Yeah.
A bit secretive. But Hellfire Club actually sounds pretty cool. I'm already there. Tell me what we're doing. Robbing a bank?
Exactly,
cool.
Yeah, let's go for it. Yeah, strippers, come on.
Yeah, I mean, they had all sorts. There was all sorts of people involved in these clubs. Famously, there were murderers and people were actually convicted of murder that were members of the club.
Fair enough.
That's the level we're talking about where it was all kinds of things. Like it was really strange because some days they would meet up and they would drink and play cards. The next night they could meet up and they would have strippers and ladies of the night and have wild nights and play Russian roulette with guns,
drinking
all sorts.
Brandy and smoking cigars and enjoying it. I tell you what, what's his name? Harold Shipman? He'd fit in right
the
in
doctor.
There. Yeah, he'd fit right in there, wouldn't he?
Yeah, because he would be a high society.
High
member.
Society, very respected and stuff, but actually go around killing everybody.
Yeah.
Why not?
Yeah, there was all kinds of things going on here in this place. The cave's motto was Faseku te vedra, which I think is how you say it, which means... Which means, do what thou wilt. And it was actually used by Aleister Crowley in later years as his motto.
Sounds like an anarchist sort of motto, really, doesn't it?
It's kind of just, we'll do whatever we want and there's nothing you can do about it. It's kind of...
Yeah, we're rich. What are you going to do?
Yeah, yeah. And the caves were mainly used for rituals, including paganism.
Hey, there we go.
Satanism.
Ooh.
Black masses.
Well, that's hand in hand with Satanism, yeah.
Black magic.
Ooh.
Satanic sacrifices.
Sacrifices.
But they would also meet up to ridicule religion. So
even though they were religious themselves, if they're satanic.
That's the thing. I in the research, nothing said that they were actual Satanists. They said that they just performed rituals and did certain aspects of Satanism.
And black masses, yeah.
But not any point does it say they're full-on Satanism. And it says they actually like to poke fun of religion. And they would actually meet up. And do you remember, was it you saying that something about religion, was it the
Illuminati?
The Illuminati, yeah. Came from
was like the science. Originally stood for the enlightened ones, the ones that didn't follow religion, followed science, and
yeah, you know, it's kind of like that vibe.
Yeah,
they're more science-y, kind of and they don't really care for religion, but then they're doing sacrifices and things. I think they were just trying whatever.
I think it's stuff like this that actually gave the Illuminati the bad name that everybody thinks that they've got today, because like I say, there was a lot of very prestigious people that were Illuminati and were quite proud to be Illuminati, because it meant that they were educated, they weren't indoctrinated into religion, they actually held scientific backgrounds and researchers and stuff like that. Isaac Newton was Illuminati. I think he was quite proud to be might have been, even Da Vinci might have even been Illuminati, because they were the enlightened people. They weren't just following the crowd. They weren't the sheep that, you know, everybody else in society and culture was. But obviously these days, maybe Illuminati means something a little bit different and it's gone a bit more sinister.
Yeah.
But originally it was only the Catholic Church that thought the Illuminati was sinister, because it went against everything that they held dear.
Ah, maybe that's where the twist is
coming from. In today's society and culture, isn't really anything to worry about.
No, but mostly men of science and literature and politicians were part of the gentlemen's club, as well as murderers and people.
Well, they probably were the murderers.
It was said as well that there were people living in the caves and in the sheds and places.
Really?
But they were the people that were the murderers and
the
villains.
The troglodytes of society. Yeah. Yes,
the actual politicians and scientists and
they had
poets,
houses to go home to. Yeah.
They had families and stuff. So they would actually meet up on average twice a month.
Oh, okay.
But other people would do it every day. But the main people, the politicians especially, it was like a twice, once a month kind of thing.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ12 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Well, I'm guessing basically it's probably like you say, the murderers and whatnot were probably employed by the club to do the dirty work for the rich and the wealthy. And
yeah, yeah. It's so strange because it's not even just dirty work as well. Like, I read that they had one night where they just read each other poetry. And I'm like, that doesn't sound very hellfire to me.
No, but they would consider themselves enlightened and cultured, yeah, wouldn't they? So, you know, yeah, anything goes, really, doesn't it?
It's just so strange that you just go,
why don't we do poetry tonight and tomorrow strippers?
Yes. And then we will sacrifice a cat to the devil on the third night. It's like, what? It's insane. There were occult symbols from all different kinds of religion and backgrounds all over the caves and all over the walls.
Okay, yeah.
And in the London, I'm sure I read it was the London Gentlemen's Club, which I think you can still visit. I'm not too sure. You can definitely for the Irish one. But in the London one, it is said to be most haunted by the maid who walks the grounds of the caves, and she was known as Suki. Oh, I don't know if she's Suki. Asian. It sounds like an Asian name, but Suki. Most Haunted actually visited this place in 2003, and they actually heard babies crying and stones being thrown.
Oh. So did it reveal the address? Or where it is? It did. Do you think we should not say?
No, I just forgot to write it in my notes.
Oh, okay.
But I did write down the Irish one.
It's that very prestigious building of... Isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I thought it was, yeah.
But no, I just forgot to write it down. But I have got all the details for the Irish one.
Okay.
Which is where more hauntings and more crazy stuff happens.
Oh, did they just go and find the most haunted, crazy building that they could and say, we're setting up shop there?
No, I think they were the ones that made it haunted.
Oh, okay, yeah. I guess, yeah, that makes sense, yeah.
But the London one is pretty much just caves and rumoured to have one ghost. But the Irish one, whew, let me tell you about that. So this is actually found...
It's actually haunted by a leprechaun.
It could be.
Might be.
It could be. Mainly cats from the research.
Oh, okay.
Which leads on from your big cat episode.
Which was a good episode. If you haven't listened to that, please do. Go ahead, download.
Yeah.
Enjoy.
So this is actually found 30 minutes south of Dublin, a 30-minute drive south of Dublin city centre.
Oh, okay.
And it is the Irish Hellfire Club. The most famous story, which I'm just going to go straight into, is the devil himself.
Ooh.
So there was a night where they were playing cards, and they were all stood round and playing whatever card game they were playing. And they all had their cloaks on, and it was all mysterious. And it was a little bit of a fun game, but also I'm guessing there was dark stakes. It was not just, you know, we're not just playing.
Was it poker?
Go
or?
Fish. No, it was, okay. It was like a
were they playing with tarot cards or just normal?
I think so. I cards. Think it said it was... cards of the dark arts.
Ah, okay. So, yeah, okay.
And one of the players dropped a card. And when he bent down to pick up the card, he saw hooves.
Ooh.
Suggesting that the devil himself made an appearance to the card game at the Gentleman's Club. That's the most famous story from the Dublin Hellfire Club.
But when he looked up, he didn't see the rest of the devil. He just saw the hooves like under the table, I'm guessing.
No, they were all cloaked, so they couldn't see any features.
Oh, I see.
Yep.
Devil
so,
in disguise.
The place is called Montpellier Hill. Montpellier Hill, okay. In Dublin. So originally, at the top of Montpellier Hill, there was an ancient passage grave with stones stacked on top. Then William Connolly, who was actually the Speaker of the Irish House of Commons, so a politician,
mm-hmm.
One of the wealthiest men in Ireland, came along and built a hunting lodge on the same site in 1725. Connolly is said to have destroyed the building lodge using one of the grave standing stones as the fireplace. Sometime later, the roof of the secluded lodge was blown off during a storm. The locals reckon that aggrieved spirits seeking vengeance for the destruction were responsible. And so the tales began of the hauntings and things.
Oh, because he, what, desecrated the grave, I suppose, of what, building on top of it and disturbing the sacred land of the burial site.
And after Connolly's death, the lodge was sold, and it is said to have become a meeting place for the Irish Hellfire Club, a club that was founded in 1735 by Richard Parsons, a man known for dabbing in black magic. So this is why the Irish one seems to be a bit more haunted and a bit more crazy. Its members met at locations across Dublin and were known for their immoral behaviour and debauchery involving alcohol and sex. The secrecy surrounding the club led to speculation that its members were Satanists and devil worshippers. The president was named King of Hell, as he dressed like Satan with horns and wings and hooves.
Oh.
So maybe that's where that
that's
story
probably
comes
where
from.
Well, the guy saw then, isn't it? Really? Yeah. Let's face it.
Also,
he'd
alcohol.
Had a few too many brandies that night, yeah. Oh, I can't hold on to my cards. Oh, no, hooves!
I'm pretty sure we've just debunked the most famous Hellfire story in Dublin. The members were also said to set a place at each meeting for the devil in the hope that he would attend.
But he never showed up.
No. Well.
Well, except that one time, maybe. Yeah. Except possibly the high priest.
There's another couple of little stories with the Dublin one.
I wonder if Black Sabbath ever played a gig at that place.
Maybe.
That would do wonders for their image, wouldn't it?
It does seem pretty creepy. Although playing a gig in a cave would be cool.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Or anywhere called the Hellfire Club. I'd love to play a gig at the Hellfire Club.
Yeah, it just sounds cool, doesn't it?
It does, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I don't know, that on your resume, I played a gig at the Hellfire Club. Oh, nice one, mate. Well, that was awesome, wasn't it? Well, no, it was just a bunch of nuns there, to be honest. It just wouldn't happen, would it?
No. Well, apparently one of the night's activities were so bad, in fact, that a man was found the next day trembling and terrified, and he spent the rest of his life unable to speak and couldn't even remember his own name. So that's how bad
wow.
it affected him.
That's Rufalin for you.
Or moonshine, maybe. There's also another famous story of a black cat with horns being seen in the area.
Oh, okay.
And so much so that a priest was called to douse the place in holy water.
And exorcise the demon.
Yeah, something along those lines. Like, to be honest, that one story didn't really make sense to me because it was something along the lines as well. He turned up and there was just a banquet laid out, but there was no one there, just a cat with horns. And then all of a sudden there was a dead body covered in claws. It didn't really make sense to
me. Yeah. Yeah, sounds like something a little bit made up, that one.
Yeah. And strange smells have been recorded.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah, considering what was going on in there, I'm not surprised, to be honest.
A lot
of bodily fluids all over the floor, I would imagine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of various types.
Yes, yes. From every orifice. Who knows? Several ghost stories are also connected to the Dublin house, which sits present day to Hellfire Club car park at the bottom of the hill. People have seen things in the car park. Ooh. This is modern times.
Oh, okay. Someone with hooves.
Yeah, yeah. A family was seen, a ghost family.
An entire family of ghosts?
Yeah.
Or a family saw some ghosts?
Both. Why not?
This family saw an entire other family of ghosts. In the car park. Not even in the building. They were trying to get in.
Ghost cats.
We can't mention the ghost cats.
Ghost
tigers, wasn't
That's
it?
Ghost tigers.
Yes.
Ghost cats have been seen in the area. Ghosts in the lodge that was built by Connolly have been seen.
Right.
Some people believe that the cat, the ghost cat, comes from being sacrificed by the Hellfire Club, while others state that the cat is just the spirit of an animal that was doused in whiskey and set fire by the Hellfire Club.
Horrible.
I know, but these are the kinds of things, like, this is why it was so fascinating to me that they
rich
could
men should not get drunk, and
they could literally get drunk and read each other poetry and then a
or
month
just
later
drench a cat with whiskey and set fire to
yeah.
it. Well, it's horrible. Yeah.
There's no in between. It's
no, it's 0 to 100.
It's just whatever they want to do. I mean, that is their motto, isn't it? Do
yeah,
what thou
do
wilt.
What thou wilt.
So reportings of some more hauntings took place at the lodge and the grounds between 1968 and 1970, when Margaret O'Brien and her husband Nicholas were converting the house into an art centre.
As you do.
So several tradesmen reportedly left the site, claiming that they had been haunted by a black cat with glowing red eyes.
And horns?
No, this one's
no
just
horn.
Called red eyes.
Oh, it's not a horny cat.
No, not right. a horny cat. And in 2006, a bunch of people turned up on the 6th of the 6th, 2006,
right,
expecting to see the Antichrist. Nothing happened.
Oh, well, that's a bit of a anticlimax, isn't it?
Yeah, the whole podcast is an anticlimax because that is the Hellfire Club.
That was the Hellfire Club. Wow.
Yeah. That is the gentleman's club, known as the Hellfire Clubs. Honestly,
sounds like East London on a Friday night, to be honest.
Yeah, yeah. It's one of those subjects as well where I tried to find so much research on it, and I tried every single little thing of typing in different keywords, and I was just getting the same few stories and the same kind of vibe from the Hellfire Club. Just a gentleman's club that in pop culture, you've got Stranger Things, you've got a comic book. But yeah, it was a place for all men. When men were men, they just did what they wanted. All kinds of crazy things.
Yeah, I mean, today I suppose you could say that the Voodoo Lounge is the modern day Hellfire Club, mm-hmm. isn't it? You know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's what, you know, bands get together. They've, you know, they got a bit of money. They got plenty of access to things that maybe they shouldn't have access to, and things go on that shouldn't happen, as P. Diddy is now paying for.
Yes, yes. I will say that they did have some morals. They didn't sacrifice women and children.
That's great. That's morally fantastic.
It's pretty much the only thing they didn't do.
Yeah.
Sacrifice women and children. But, you know, they set cats on fire and tortured animals sacrifices.
In a way, they did sacrifice the women and children because the women and children weren't allowed to go.
Yeah.
That in itself is a sacrifice, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if the women and children would want to go to the gentleman's
probably
club.
Not.
Just maybe on poetry night. But
yeah, poetry. Yeah, everybody was in on poetry night. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Imagine having to bring your kid to work day for the Hellfire Club. Come on in, Jonathan. Today we're sacrificing mittens. Hand me that whiskey.
Watch anybody got any matches?
Oh, mental. Yeah, that's...
I mean, do you think they actually, like, set out at the start of the evening to do all that twisted stuff, like setting fire to cats and stuff? Or do you think it was just, you know, once the brandy started flowing and they all got more and more drunk? I think we all know somebody that gets out of hand when they've had a few drinks.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And if there's people listening going, no, I've never... You're the person. You're the person.
There's you.
You're the one that gets out of hand, doesn't remember the night. And you're like, oh, last night was kind of tame.
It's all right.
we all know someone that takes things too far. I knew a guy, I won't say his name. He was a part of the group, a friend of a friend, if you will. And he just had a lot of anger in him.
Right.
And I remember every time we used to meet up and have these parties and things, he would always drink too much and he would just want to fight. It doesn't matter who. I hate those people, he would argue with women. He was not very nice. But when he was sober, he was actually one of the nicest guys. But drink just wasn't good for him.
Right.
And I remember being at a certain music festival. I don't want to say because, you know.
It'll give it away. Yeah.
Yeah, I was at a certain music festival and it was raining. And I was under the umbrella with him and another guy watching a band. And then the our girlfriends were holding another umbrella next to us. And the other side of us was a group of guys smoking herbal cannabis. And
right.
The guy next to us, he was, you know, a bit out of his head. And the guy that I was with had way too many drinks. And this guy literally just turned round and said, "Oh, I don't suppose you've got a spare Rizla, have you, mate?" And I don't know what it was that upset him, but he said, and then just punched him in the face. And right. Honestly, it was just from asking. Like, I don't know Rizla. If it was just because it was raining and he just wanted to watch the band and he was drunk. But yeah, he just punched someone in the face for asking for a Rizla. Right, and okay. He was the kind of person where I was like, yeah, you'd make a real good Hellfire Club member.
Yeah, like, yeah, but that's fair enough.
Yeah, okay. we do all know someone like that.
We do.
But it's fascinating. I assume that this kind of thing doesn't happen with the Freemasons this day and age.
Probably not the Freemasons, but I think it happens far too often in just general society.
Mm.
And I would like to bring it to the paranormality scale with an 8.7. I think a lot of us, I'm not saying everybody, but a lot of us have woken up in the morning with a very bad head, several empty bottles next to us, a deal and a, you know, a,
you're gonna have to censor that out.
And a dwarf, you know, and, and maybe a traffic cone that you don't know where it's come from.
Yep, censor it all.
I mean, we've all been there.
Yeah, we've all been there.
Or, mate, some of us have been there. So 8.7, I'd say for that. That's how good a night I think the Hellfire Club was.
Yeah, that sounds like a good old night to pirate. To be fair. I agree with you. I've had one night like that where I thought a glass of water was water and it turned out to be pure vodka. And once I'd started drinking it, I kind of had this moment of, I'm already here. So I just finished basically a whole pint of vodka. I honestly don't remember
the rest of the night.
Don't remember much of that. No. Apparently, I ended up at the pub with my trousers on my head. All kinds of things. I don't really know.
And we don't want to know what happened to the traffic cone in that particular story.
Yeah, it ended up through a window. I'm not too sure. I just have the stories that my friends tell me from that night.
Which is probably vastly exaggerated, knowing you.
Maybe.
Because you are you know, Stuart Little, really, aren't you?
Kind of. I don't have many crazy stories. I have a few. I have a few, but they're not podcast. Well, I tell you what, that might be a Patreon
special.
Yeah, okay. If you want some of my old crazy stories of my youth, uncensored, unfiltered, write to us and let me know, and I will quite happily, you know, put that on Patreon. Because some of them, you
have to join Patreon to see it.
Some of them are actually pretty wild. Wow. I can give you a couple headlines. So Amsterdam, one of them being Amsterdam, another one having guns pointed at me. I've got a real crazy one, which all I will say is imagine gangsters from a film, guns on the table, tens of thousands of pounds rolled up, a couple of balaclavas, and a dodgy apartment. That's all I'll say.
That sounds like the kind of story that I'd like to hear.
So, yeah, so if anyone's if you actually hear that, interested,
you've got to sign up to the Patreon.
Yeah, let us know. We could do that, actually. A Patreon of Paranormality UK After Dark. Yeah.
After Dark. Oh, I like that,
yeah. Yeah, yeah.
I'm not sure that I'd want to admit some of my darker stories. That's the only thing. But I'm sure people would want to hear it.
I'm all for it. I actually do think, like, because I feel like you can't change the past.
No.
What things that have happened, And if you can, like, I'm here now, I'm healthy, I'm happy, so all of that stuff led to where I am now. So I have no problems being open and honest and talking about that kind of thing. It doesn't bother me. Some of it is actually like really good content and things. So why not? Just get it out there.
Yeah. Well, we're only going to do it if there's enough. If there's enough people that want that.
Yeah.
So if you want it, sign up to the Patreon, write in, and let Josh know that you want to know these stories.
Yeah.
If you want to know my stories as well. I'm not sure that I want to share them, but
well, I'm going to give an 8.2. I don't know why, just popped into my head.
That's not far. I can't remember what I said now.
You said 8.7.
So
yeah, I'll give it
8.45, right?
Yeah.
It's pretty good. Pretty good for the Hellfire Club. Yeah. Everybody enjoys a night like this.
Yeah. Also, if anyone else has some interesting stories of wild nights out or being part of clubs or doing anything they shouldn't, and they're happy to share, please write in.
Yeah, we'll include you in our next No Subject or We Got Mail episode.
Yeah.
And until next time, I've been Pirate.
I'm Josh.
This has been Paranormality UK. Ta-ta.
Ta-ta. Yeah.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job post seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/ARTS. Just go to Indeed.com/ARTS right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.